If you have your Bibles with you tonight, turn with me, if you will, very familiar scripture, 17th chapter of St. John, 17th chapter of St. John. I bless the Lord for His Word. This week to me, I tried to say earlier how good and how pleasant He's been to us, and I know I've not scratched the surface of it, but I bless His name for what He's done for me through and by His Word this week. In this 17th chapter of St. John, we'll read several verses, and I pray bear with us as we do. This is probably some of the richest scripture I've ever got to look at. It humbles me to even turn to it and look at it. This is my Savior praying for us. And I don't know about you, but it gets a hold of me. I don't mean to cry and get emotional. I'd like to just be able to read it and not stop, but you talk about a blessedness. Lord, help us this evening to look at the Word of God and glean from it that'd be pleasing to Him. The Bible says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifest Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me. Out of the world Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee. And they have believed that Thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us, children. that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You may be seated. More here, beyond any shadow of a doubt in my soul, that I could cover in all the days of my life, should I live another 1,000 years. My children, what rich words that the God of heaven would allow you and I to be able to look down at a piece of paper and read, and it be preserved and kept throughout time and opposition and all the pollutes of this world that would have contaminated and hindered it, and God Almighty in His knowledge and in His wisdom has kept the Word of God for us. I cannot begin to express to you the gratitude that I feel in my heart toward God, that God would allow me to have an understanding to be able to even read and comprehend what little bit that I've comprehended out of this great blessed passage of Scripture. And in all sincerity, I hope and pray that your heart is made glad by the Word of God. I hope and pray that, my friend, that the resource that God has provided for you and I to go into the Word of God and glean out of it such substance of truth, such reality of being a child of God. Not a child of this world, not a form or fashion of mankind, but my friend, even as he said in the very beginning of this book, and my friend, by the by the hand of John, let's turn there and just read it. I don't want to misquote it, but listen to what the Bible says in the 12th verse of the first chapter. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, listen to this, full of grace and truth. That God would grant you and I the great honor, the great privilege, my friend, of knowing beyond any shadow of a doubt the truths of God versus, my friend, what this world would call truth. And my friend, even as it was in the days of his crucifixion, and he stood in the halls of Pilate, and my friend, and one of the wisest men of their days, and Pilate himself, looked at Christ and said, "What is truth?" And the very epitome of truth, standing within earshot of him. God has provided for us His blessed Word. God has provided for us, and my friend, the richness, the truth, and my friend, that God sent His Son into this world, and not only did Jesus, and my friend, perform and do the will and the Word of God, but the same Jesus is praying for us right here to be one in Him. And I tell you this, my friend, when we're one in Christ, in God, the world cannot deny what we are. How do you know, preacher? Because that's just exactly what Jesus just said. He didn't pray that God would take us out of this world. Children, you ever lay at night and on your back and look up at the stars in heaven? You can't see them in the daytime. It's got to get dark. And I'll tell you this, I believe I have seen this in the days of my journey, that the children of the living God shine the brightest in the darkest of their days. I believe that. I've seen it, my friend. When it looked like that they were overwhelmed on every side, I've seen the grace of God cause them to shine. And how is that? By the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. David said, cause me to hear thy loving kindness. You talk about a blessing that God would write his word upon the tables of our heart and the front lids of our mind. That in the day of adversity, my friend, we would not faint, but that we would not lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him. And what will he do? He'll forsake you and leave you hanging on a limb. Oh, no, that's not what he said. He said, I'll direct your path. Oh, I tell you what, my friend, there's a highway of holiness. And I have to tell you this. I have found this to be so true. When it looked like that, my friend, that the whole world was trying to throw strips and snares in front of us, God can bring us together as one. Not according to my will and not according to your will, but according to his word. His word is the oneness of our life. His word is the oneness that can set us all together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, all of them that thou hast given me, I have kept, save the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. I assure you this, that those 11 disciples faced many adversities about throwing in the towel. When you go back to the day, my friend, when that Jesus was taken from them and he was going through this mock trial of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they was putting him, my friend, to an open shame before the world, and we're all reminded of how that Peter forsook him and denied him thrice. The Bible teaches me this, that they all forsook him that night. Know this. Children, I assure you, at one point or time in all of our lives, we have all forsaken God. We all have. But it's God that's brought us together. It's God's word that brings us, my friend, if you will, to the hemmed in place of being able to acknowledge God. To acknowledge him and give him the glory that's due his name. Now here is Jesus. Now he's lived 33 and a half years in this world, full of sin on every side, and he's fixing to leave this world. He's finished the work that God's given him to do, and he's fixing to go back to the right hand of the throne of God. And what is he doing? He's praying for you and me. He's asking God to keep us as God has kept him. Now, friend, it's a blessing to have saintly people pray for you. It is a blessing. I can contest, and I have to testify beyond any shadow of a doubt, I have felt the prayers of the saints. I have. I know they have sustained me. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, and I don't know who it was, but I thank God for it. Somebody prayed for me every day this week. They had to have. God's been too close. Knowing this, understanding this, Jesus prayed for all of us right here. The Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God, agonized with God for us. And what was he asking? What was he asking his Father for? That we would be one in him. It's not my way. It's not your way. But it is his way. And this is his way right here. It's contained in the scriptures from Genesis 1 to Revelations 22. This is the word. Jesus said about this glory, about this love, about this relationship that he had with God the Father before the world was. Heard a man say this the other night, and I really like it. It's a blessing when I heard it. That God had a way of escape for the salvation of men's souls before sin was ever in this world. You talk about being loved in the mind of God. That God has loved us. That God sent his Son for us. And what does God want us to do? What is it that God wants us to have in our hearts and our lives? He wants us to believe on whom he has sent. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is the word of God? Well, I'll tell you what, you'll never find a closer illustration of the Word of God than what you've heard read right here tonight. This is, if you will, God speaking to God. You can't divide Jesus and God. You can't divide the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God. They are one. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And what did he desire? He says, and this is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Oh, I tell you what, my friend, there are lots of people who have taken God and they've brought him down to man. They've taken God and his holiness and his authority and his power and they've reduced him down to a man. And that's not what he is. He's God Almighty by himself. He doesn't have to have me and he doesn't have to have you. But children, we need him desperately bad. And listen to me. I'm not going to have him ruling and reigning in my heart, in my life, if I have a problem with my brother. The Bible teaches me plainly, how can I love God whom I have not seen if I love not my brother whom I have seen? That's the scriptures, that's the word, and that's why God wrote it and God sent it down. I promise you the ways of our flesh would be like this, to hate this one and love that one. To hate that one and love it. Listen, that's the nature of our flesh, but that's not what God wants us to do. No, God wants us to love without dissimulation. Be reminded of the example of love that Jesus left. The son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And he knew what Judas was when he chose Judas. The Bible teaches us that. Have I not chosen one of you, and one of you is a devil? Jesus knew what he was when he chose him. But my friend, his love was so plain to every one of them when it come time at the Last Supper, one of you is going to betray me. They, everyone said, Lord, is it I? You and I wouldn't be like that, would we? Oh, but I pray that the Word of God would flourish in our hearts. You know, Paul told Timothy to study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't have the mind to rightly divide such words of wisdom. Neither do you. No man ever has. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And this is scripture. This is not ideas of mankind. I assure you, what I tell you tonight is the word of God. And this is what he said, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Jesus warned over in another book, he said, now beware that in the last days there shall come false Christ. That's what Jesus said. That in the last days there'll come false Christ. Friend, I tell you, God don't want you to know a false Christ. He wants you to know Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen on. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. What a statement. What a proclamation. What a place of ascension in prayer. That God, Father, I've done what you sent me to do. I have finished the work. And why did he do that? Why was he able to do that? Because I tell you what, he loved the Father. He loved the Father, and he loved what the Father loved. He loved you and I. Listen on. He said, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Aren't you glad God don't change? I tell you what God was at the beginning of eternity, he's the same at the end of eternity, if there's such a thing. God doesn't change. And Jesus Christ is here praying for us, and he's asking God to give him the glory that he had before the world was. He's not desiring something new. He's wanting to be made manifest in our lives, the relationship between God and his Son. Because I assure you this, in the great and noble day of God, God will look at many a man's souls and say, what did you do with my son? What did you do with my son? Well, I wasn't alive when your son was alive. I bet
the difference, friend. He's from cover to cover. He's on every line. He's on every page. This is Jesus from beginning to end and every place in the middle. This is Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us to be one in Christ. Listen, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. What a testimony that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his prayer unto God, would say these words, they have kept thy word. Would he be able to pray that about us tonight? Oh, I pray this evening. You know, I've said this before, and I mean it with all that be in my heart. It's a miracle that any of us are saved. It's a miracle. Salvation is of the Lord. This is of God. It's not of the will of man. It's not of the will of the flesh, but it is by the Word of God. And what's so amazing is that he knew about every one of us, and he still loved us, and he still saved us. He still drawed us. He still washed us. We were polluted in our own blood in a field, and the Bible says, as it is in the book of Ezekiel, there was none that had pity. There was none of them pitied us, but God did. Listen on to the Bible. He says, for I have given unto them thy words, which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didest send me. Now, you stop for just a minute and think about what these men are being testified of believing. They're believing in the Messiah that the church world rejected. They're believing in the Lamb of God that the church world is fixing the nail to the cross. They're believing in the great and noble Lamb of God that my friend, that when he come to his own despised him and rejected him and said, we'll not have you. This is what they believed. Mary said this. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Heaven help my heart. Oh God, I pray help my soul. That I would with meekness receive, this is in the book of James, if my mind serves me right, with meekness that I might receive the engrafted word of God. Why do you say that, preacher? One of the hardest scriptures as a young Christian that I had to accept was eternal salvation. Now you may have no problem with that, but I promise you as a young convert, I struggled with eternal security. Why? Why is that? Because I had raised up all my life that I could be saved today and I could be lost tomorrow. And my dad believed it, my uncles believed it, my aunts believed it, and everybody I was around told me that continually. But I hear the man of God preaching that I'm eternally saved, and I had a hard time with that. I said, God, I just don't know about that. Till God opened up the Word of God and let me read in the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and I want to say it's the 9th verse. Said, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by things in which he suffered and became the author of eternal salvation. I like left this world. Why? Because God, not man, but God settled that in my soul. And I'll tell you, friend, that was one of many. And I pray, oh God, do I pray. As Paul said, doubtless I shall come to revelations in Christ. You read when Paul said that. Now the Apostle Paul, you think about when he said this, he said he saw some things that was not lawful for him to utter. But yet he believed the Word of God. He believed Jesus. He believed on whom he had sent. Listen on to the Bible. He says, I pray for them, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Here again, Jesus loving whom the Father loved and praying for whom the Father would have him pray for. What does that tell you and I? It reminds me of the passage of Scripture in the book of Romans for that it says we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit causes us to have prayer, if you will, this is paraphrased, with groanings which cannot be uttered. He makes intercession for us. I don't know how to talk to God. I don't have the words for such a place of holiness and majesty. But sometimes I find myself just groaning from the inside out. Oh, God, I need your help. Oh, God, I need your knowledge. Oh, God, I need your wisdom. Oh, God, I need you. You ever find yourself there? There's no words to wrap around the necessity of the dire straits that the soul of man can be in. But this is the only answer. Listen on. He says, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. What's Jesus wanting us to see in these words that he's saying? I believe it's this. Now, you can take it for what you want, but this is what come to me. Jesus is magnifying that there is no division between him and God and God's people. I believe that he is magnifying that, my friend, he's desiring that God would make manifest in their conscience that these are thine, they are mine, and I am thine, and all them that thou hast are thine. And my friend, he's magnifying to the world there's no division or schism in heaven. Children, when we get to glory, they're not going to be a county over here for Catholics. They're not going to be a county over here for Methodists. They are neither male nor female in heaven. We are just the children of God. And listen to me. You're not going to run up and speak to Paul and Silas. You're not going to run over there and get a hold of David by the hand and talk about Jonathan and the great battles that they had. That's not going to happen. I'll tell you what, it's going to happen in glory. We're going to be found bowed at the very feet of the Lamb of God. My friend, he's given him glory forever and ever and ever because he loved us. Polluted in my own blood, he loved me. Oh, a trespasser of trespassers, he loved me. I tell you, we'll be giving him glory for eternity for that. Now listen on what the Lord said. He said, and I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Children, the greatest struggle that any of us will ever overcome is the division in our heart that the devil would make manifest in our carnal consciousness. Listen to me, please. The greatest hurdle we'll ever overcome is the division that the devil will put in our carnal consciousness. Because when we get in the Word of God, there is no division. When we get in the book, when we get, my friend, into the Word of God, there is no division in Christ. There is no division in God. But where do these divisions come from? Our carnal consciousness. Amen. And we've all had them. Every last one of us. And how is it that we are overcomers? We better go back to the Word. We better go back to what thus saith God. Listen what he said. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. All things work together for the good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Friend, I tell you what, it is a blessing to serve a God that is God Almighty. That God, in his knowledge and his wisdom, would set these 12 men in the proper place at the proper time for the glory of God. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying right here. He says, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So now, what was the joy of Christ? Where was Christ's joy? It wasn't in bow hunting. It wasn't in fishing. It wasn't in working. It wasn't in things of this world. But what did he tell his disciples over there when he went over there to the well and he says, I have meat to eat that you know not of? What did Jesus say? He said his meat was to do the will of his Father. You will never be happier. You'll never have more peace on the inside of your life than when you know that you know that you know that your heart, your mind, your body, your soul is lined up with the Word of God, Jesus Christ the righteous. Then comes joy. Then comes peace like a river, joy unspeakable and that full of glory. Listen on. He says, I have given them thy word. I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ brought the word of God to the people. He didn't bring the word of the law. They had the word of the law, and there's no flesh justified by the works of the law. We know that by the Bible. But these men loved the word. These men loved God. I was reminded today, and it scares me, one of the scariest scriptures I guess I've ever read, sobering in my heart and soul. It's in 2 Thessalonians. I'll turn there right quick, like I don't want to misquote it. 2 Thessalonians, and I want to say it's in the second chapter, but it may be in the end of the first chapter. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. And it says this, it's in the end of the first chapter. He says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them, listen to this, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They don't love the truth. They've got in their mind what the truth is, and they'll not hear anything else but what's in that mind. Friend, what some of these disciples were hearing was not a popular word in their day, but they believed Jesus. And what happened because they didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved? The Bible says this in the 11th verse. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie and be damned. I don't know about you, but that's some of the soberest scripture that I think I've ever read. Because listen to me. Friend, God has sent some men some strong delusions in life. He has. It's in His Word. It's in His book. And what I don't want to be found of God is that God sent me a strong delusion. Know this. I want to be found of God loving the truth. What is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. Do you love this? Listen to me very closely. I beg you, hear me. Do you love this book enough to read it just to know Jesus more? Listen to me. God got a hold of my life one day and sobered me very quickly. During the week, and I was between services, and I got the book down. I sat down at the table, tired, wore out, opened up the book, and think I got to find something to preach on. And I'm just stirring through the Bible. And my friend, and God thundered it in my heart. Are you trying to find something just to be delivered in people's places, or you digging through me because you love me? Broke my heart. Why? Because the truth come to me. I was combing the scriptures that I might have something to stand with. I wasn't combing the scriptures because I loved him. It was out of duty. I promise you, duties will wrap around your neck till it drowns your life. Christ come to set us free, children. He come to set us free. And I tell you what, when you dig in this and you know it, it's not something that'll make you nervous. And it's not something that'll make you think, well, is this right or that? No, I tell you what, the Spirit of truth will set you free. It'll make you glad. It'll bring you joy. It'll bring you peace. Now listen to what he said. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. What is the evil? What is the evil? Hear me, please. I can tell you this for me. The evil is unbelief. That's the evil. You see, people won't get sent to hell for drinking alcohol. People will not get sent to hell for murder. People will not get sent to hell for committing adultery. They'll get sent to hell because of unbelief. That's what will depart the soul from the presence of God. Into the regions of the damned, into the lake of fire. Listen on to the Bible. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now he's reminding us. He's not reminding God. God knows. We're not of the world. But now I want us to pay very close attention to the next verse. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now this sanctifying, this place of being made holy. When something is holy, I tell you what, it's accepted of God. It may be rejected of this world. It may be despised of man. But I promise you this, that when God Almighty sanctifies something, it's His and it's acceptable in His presence. And that's us. And how did He sanctify us? Through the Word of God. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So all that we are and all that we shall ever be is our faith in God. Listen on to the Bible. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now these are the 11. These are the disciples. But now he's going to get on down here in just a minute and he's going to speak expressively to you and I. But who's God sent you to? The world. Now listen. That means that the Lamb of God, whom God sent into this world, that God has sent us out into this world. And how are they going to know what we are and who we are? Because we attend church 3 times a week? That don't cut it. I can tell you this right now. They are a lot of people that attend church 3 times a week and they're on the road to hell. That's hard for people to hear. But going to church won't save you. But if you are saved, you will go to church. And you won't just walk through the doors. But I tell you what, you'll have a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to give unto God for His goodness and His kindness and His mercy to your individual life. And when you're out in this world, you're going to be salt. You're going to be despised. You're going to be rejected. My friend, listen to me very closely. To us, and this is what the Word of God says, to us that we are the ministers, the speakers for God, and this, to some we're a savor unto life. And to others, what does the book say? We're a savor unto death. I think that's why there's so much fear in preaching the gospel. Because whether or not that people believe it, whether or not they receive it, I tell you what, my friend, when the Word of God comes, people are standing between heaven and hell. It's on a knife's edge. Listen on. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. You're not going to be sanctified any other way. There's no other way to be accepted, to be found holy, to be found set aside, to be found purged, than to be sanctified by the Word of God. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. And no man cometh unto me except my Father which is in heaven draw him. This is the words of Jesus. Listen on. He says, that they all may be one. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Children, I tell you what, when we get one in God, and the world walks in the door, and we're in one mind, in one accord, what happened on the day of Pentecost? What was going on? They got in one mind, and they got in one accord. And God saved 3,000 souls. And why? Because they were in one mind, and they were in one accord. When we get in one mind and one accord, you know what that oneness is going to be? It ain't going to be me and it ain't going to be you. That oneness is going to be Jesus. And He'll get lifted up. And what happens when He gets lifted up? He's going to draw all men unto Him. You see, it's our little minds that get to play in with things that ought not to be played with. We ought to believe the Word of God. We ought to take into our heart the Word of God. Listen on what he said. Listen, this is Jesus praying for us, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. We want people to believe in Jesus. We're going to have to be in one, in God and in Christ. This is the one right here. Listen on. He says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. What is this glory? I tell you what. Jesus walked into the den of devils on many occasions, and it didn't baffle him. Jesus, I tell you, my friend, stood even in the land of his own people. And they despised him, and they hated him, and did it bother him? No. He said this, a prophet's not without honor save in his own country. Children, I tell you, this word of God can bring you peace. Every last one of us. He didn't leave none of us out. I tell you, this word of God can bring us peace. Listen on to the word of God. He says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to hurry, I'm going to do my best to close, but listen to me, please, I pray. When a lie is magnifying the Savior, is magnifying God, does that not cause a saved heart to run to that same place? Amen. It does. Is it not like a catching fire? Is it not like a wind that bloweth that we all can feel the breeze? When that heart begins to magnify God, does it not run all over the house? This is not what the book says. This is what the Bible says. Listen now. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I tell you what, friend, the more singleness of heart we can get, the higher we're going to see God lifted up. And the more we'll be willing to step down. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Who is this righteous man? Do you think it's this outward man? No way, no how. But it's that inward man. Born not of flesh and blood, but born by the word of God. Listen on, I'll do my best to hurry. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. I tell you what, when Jesus is in his proper place in our heart, there's no shadow of a doubt. We see the work of God in our lives. We see what the Father has done and not we ourselves. I need to back that because I missed a verse and I don't want to miss it. He says, neither pray I, this is in the 20th verse, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You know, Paul said, if I speak anything, let it be of the oracles of God. I don't want you to hear my words. My words don't mean anything. But I tell you what, my friend, those words right there, they'll bring you life. They'll strengthen, establish, and settle you. My friend, I don't want you to live in the strength of the bread of man. But I tell you what, I want you to eat just a little bit of this and go on the strength of it for many days. Arise and eat, for the journey's too great for thee. Lord, they killed the prophets. They've torn down your altars. I want them left. Just take me and let me go on home. There have been times in my life, even so, Lord Jesus, come. I'd just soon make the other journey. Death don't fear me. The crossing don't worry me. There's lots of times I'd like to just go on home to be with the Lord. But that's not what God wants out of us, is it? God wants us to occupy till he comes. I tell you what, my friend, may they see him in us. Listen on, I'll do my best to hurry. He said, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Here again, the Lord Jesus Christ is asking us to be one. Now, it won't be my way, and it won't be your way, but it can be His way, and it's one way. And may our hearts be provoked by the God of eternity to get in singleness of heart for the glory of God. Not for the glory of man. Not to say, I was right, he was wrong, we've all been wrong. We've all been right. Christ, and that's the oneness we must come to. If we come to this oneness, you're going to find yourself a part of a body that the fiery darts of hell cannot touch, that the rumors of the wicked does not hinder, that I tell you what, my friend, you'll desire to see Christ high and lifted up above all things in all the journeys of life. That's my heart. We'll come to order to be dismissed.